The number of jobs created in August, net zero.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. News this morning from the Labor Department that the economy didn't create any jobs and didn't lose any jobs in August. And the unemployment rate didn't change either. It remains at 9.1%. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday morning. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
So the takeaway here, does this confirm that the economy is officially and literally flat?
Yeah, we are neutral. The U.S. growth has stalled in the first half of the year, and as a result, employers really did pull back on new hires. I know the whole debt ceiling and August volatility didn't help, but, you know, those employers who needed some extra hands, they hired part-timers. The number of people working part-time who really want full-time work, that jumped to 8.8 million from 8.4 million in the previous month.
And those are people who don't have benefits either, right?
Exactly.
Part-time workers. Now, President Obama, Jill, goes before Congress on Thursday to unveil a new jobs program. Let's say all the obstacles are out of the way, okay? The Republicans are out of the way and all his obstacles are gone. Is there anything that the president can do to create some spark?
Well, you know, if there were no obstacles at all and rivers ran with chocolate, we could create a 21st century version of the New Deal Works Progress Administration. That would create tons of jobs. They might be low wages, but it would add to the debt. And I just think this comes back to the old debate, spending versus debt. And there are risks and rewards for both. But if we are not going to do a big program like that, I'm kind of concerned that we're stuck here in neutral.
And the realization?
Oh, gosh. The realization is that this, you know, we just went through a 10-year horrible period where things were fantasy land. And now we're swallowing the bitter pill. The bitter pill is it takes time to recover from a boom and bust. And this bust period is going to persist and it's not going to change. That's the price we pay for going on that binge.
And we're
going
to see if people have the patience for that. Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Take care.
We could be seeing some lawsuits coming down from the federal government in the coming days. The government accusing big banks of selling mortgages to government-backed mortgage giants, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that were less favorable than advertised. The story is in today's New York Times, and Nelson Schwartz is the reporter on that story. He's with us now. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So there are so many issues with the housing crisis and with subprime mortgages. What are these lawsuits about?
Among the big losers in the mortgage meltdown were Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the housing, you know, mortgage giants that are controlled by the U.S. government and therefore taxpayers lost. They're filing suit against the big Wall Street banks to recoup some of those losses.
It's been, what, almost 3 years since the federal bailout of Fannie and Freddie. Why are they doing this right now?
The regulators are concerned that there is a 3-year statute of limitations and from when Fannie and Freddie were taken over, and that anniversary is Wednesday.
How are the banks, do you think, likely to respond?
The banks are saying that these were sophisticated investors who knew the risks and knew these securities were not guaranteed, as well as the argument they're going to put forward is that the problems are caused by a broader downturn in the economy and broader problems in the housing market, not any kind of fraud or misrepresentation on the part of the banks.
I'm curious, Nelson, say Fannie and Freddie do win these suits. Could that help the housing market?
Hard to say whether it would help the housing market itself. I think it would help the taxpayers, but the housing market is really, you know, looking at a big overhang from all those foreclosed homes.
What about the banks? What would happen to the banks if they take this hit, billions of dollars?
I think it would be a hit to their earnings, and I think it would sort of confirm investor fears that they're going to be paying out billions of dollars for years because of what transpired during the housing bubble.
New York Times reporter Nelson Schwartz. Nelson, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much lower at the moment, anywhere between 2 and 3% in Europe. Netflix stock was down more than 9% yesterday after news leaked about a breakdown in negotiations between Netflix and Starz. Starz provides Disney and Sony movie titles for Netflix streaming content. The current contract runs through early next year. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 119 points to close at 11,493.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate four-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Millions of travelers are taking to the roads for the Labor Day holiday weekend, and gasoline prices are near the highest they've ever been this time of year, at $3.63 a gallon. That's the national average. And the high price is one reason we're using less gas, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
For 9 weeks straight, America's drivers haven't even burned up all the gasoline and diesel pumped out by domestic refineries. And that means the U.S. has been a net fuel exporter.
We peaked in terms of U.S. gasoline consumption a few years ago, and we're not likely to approach those numbers, regardless of population growth.
Tom Kloza is chief analyst at the Oil Price Information Service. He says the slowing demand is partly due to the idling economy, but greener cars and trucks are also having an effect.
Fuel efficiency is unstoppable.
Yesterday, automakers reported hefty sales of smaller gasoline-sipping cars and hybrids. Jessica Caldwell follows the industry for Edmunds.com.
A lot of these smaller cars now are a lot more attractive than they used to be. I mean, they used to be just, you know, total econo boxes that no one really wanted. But that's definitely not the case today.
Even though we're using less gasoline, 80% of demand comes from overseas. And as long as those economies keep growing, there'll be expensive gas here at home. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Finally, there's not much construction going on in Las Vegas these days. The housing market's a complete downer. No major casinos are opening up this year. So what do you do with all that heavy equipment and dirt? One company charges people as much as $750 a pop for everyday non-construction workers to take a tutorial and then get into these big backhoes and bulldozers to move the dirt around. What does the company call itself? Dig This. No, really, that's the name. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Living Social, Groupon, the Daily Deal, all the rage, of course. But how many discounts can you give before you go out of business?
If you get a response and you're a little teeny sandwich shop, for 10,000 sandwiches, that's going to hurt your business instead of help your business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good deal, bad deal. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.